What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is February 6th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We're talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates today, and they have a guy named Paul Skeens. He's not my SP number one, guys. He's not my SP two. He's my SP three. I know. You guys are going to be upset at me about this. He throws really hard. It actually has really good horizontal movement, the inferred movement. Really, the expected movement from the arm angle of Paul Skeens. Yeah, it gets horizontal. Not up, though. Not down. It's more horizontal. And that actually explains a lot about this four-seamer for Paul Skeens, because it wasn't an absurd swing strike rate pitch. It allowed a 41% ICR to right-handed batters, 47% to ICR to left-handed batters. And you realize, wait a second, it's kind of like a sinker. Based on his arm angle and everything like that, it kind of just moves horizontally. And that makes sense. That it wouldn't perform so well against the lefties because it's running toward the late barrel. If it starts in the middle, goes away, that actually hits into the barrel of the bat. That's a late swing. So I hope that Paul Skeens can actually utilize this. I hope that he can recognize that it's acting more like a sinker and then actually jams right-handers and gets outs with it instead of trying to blow it past for all the whiffs, which he didn't really get. Now, the real game changer is the splinker for Paul Skeens, because this thing is just, it breaks our models. It had a 77% strike rate and a swing strike of 18% against right-handers, and it's just so good, and that will get you all the strikeouts, that's fine. The breakers are still not very good. The slider needs to be pulled less, glove side, and he made a lot of mistakes with it over the plate. So, against lefties, the splinker is interesting. Why? He moves on the mound. Paul Skeens moves toward third base more, but then that pulls his splinker away too far. It's a far less strike rate against, far lower strike rate, I should say, against left-handed batters, and it's not as effective. And really, his biggest weakness were left-handers, right? You have the four-seamer that has a lot of velocity, but it moves horizontally, and then it actually helps batters a little bit because of that. It's weird. So, all in all, Skeens is someone with an elite splinker to right-handers, a four-seamer that is still very good. It's just not actually this absurd, oh my gosh, I'm going to strike you out pitch that we think it is. He also doesn't really spot it super well. And then he doesn't have a strong third pitch quite yet. That doesn't mean that Paul Skeens isn't going to do that. You know, he could very well perform much better with his slider or his curveball next year, could have a changeup that he introduces. He could also do better with locating that four-seamer a bit. But it should at least make you reconsider slightly that Paul Skeens is SP1. I know, 1.96 ERA, 0.95 whip. What is very interesting is that our PLV projections, based on the pitches that he throws, 3.07 ERA with a 1.14 whip and a 27% K rate, not over 30%. And the last time that I saw a difference in strikeout rate from everyone else's projections to ours when it was over 30%, with the expected one, it was Corbin Burns. And we were right about that one. And I think I agree with our PLV projections here completely that Skeens might not be a 30% strikeout guy, because the four-seamer that everyone gets wowed about is not a swinging strike rate pitch. It's wild. So I have him at 3 because of this. And I just think that Garrett Crochet is just better. And also wins. He gets wins now. The injury question, I think, honestly, is not a thing. Because if you want to say the guy who throws 99 versus the one who, I don't know, has the injury history, but also just had the perfect season to set him up to be healthy, that is Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox. Everyone gets hurt. So I don't think that's a real ding against Crochet in favor of Skeens. I still think that Skeens is great. He's just SP3. Okay, that's enough. I'm not going to draft either one, probably, because they're going to go too soon. Auction draft might begin. We'll see. Mitch Keller. Oh, man. No. That's it. I really don't want Mitch Keller. I don't think that he has a very good fastball. It did get a better swing strike rate than I expected last year, 15% swing strike rate against right-handers, so bad against lefties. And really the story here is that Keller overperformed, I believe, against right-handers with his pitches. All of his ICR, none of it was above 40% for his main trio, that is the four-seamer, sinker, and sweeper. Some cutters and sliders in there, the cutter 32% ICR, 44% on the slider, fine. But for the most part, the pitches that earned strikes, all four of them, cutter, super sinker, four seamer, under 40% ICR against right-handers. However, no pitch was under a 40% ICR against left-handers. None. Everything was from 40% at sinker to 51 on the four seamer, and only threw the sinker like 13% of the time against lefties anyway. All of it is just, oh gosh, it gets destroyed by left-handers. He has no plan for them. And at least against right-handers, he has that sinker that can go inside. The four-seamer can surprise based on that because it's thrown less than the sinker. And Mitch Keller's sweeper can get some whiffs. Maybe the slider can too. Like, I get it. It makes sense. The cutter sometimes is a good strike pitch and really changes off of the four-seamer. But boy, no. He doesn't have elite extension. 6'5 is normal. He doesn't have elite movement really anywhere here. He doesn't have any of the stuff that would say, but no, that's really good. No, I'm not buying this at all. He had a 4.25 ERA and a 1.30 whip last year. And Mitch Keller, to me, still does not have a way to fix his left-handed problem and should have a worse time against right-handers because I think he overperformed there. So there you go. No thank you, Mitch Keller, whatsoever. Jared Jones, I've gone back and forth because on one hand, I see how good he is, but then I also see that in starts, his velocity declines. And he gets a little bit worse and it's a bit more of a struggle as it goes on. And also when he came back from the lat injury, Jared Jones looked a bit fatigued. I mean, he did have some of that extreme velocity, but the overall command was just a little bit worse. He didn't have that swagger that he had at the beginning of the year. And what does that mean for next year? Well, I was initially thinking, okay, Jared Jones, you are an inefficient pitcher. And I don't believe your ability to prevent walks or really just attack effectively and do what you want to do. But you know what? I disagree with that first assessment because against both lefties and righties, Jared Jones had his four-seamer and slider record a strike rate above 65%. So he's living in the zone with both the four-seamer and the slider. That is going to be there. And honestly, it is so hard to do that. To find a young pitcher with amazing stuff with that good control on his number one and number two pitch against both sides of the plate, you really just don't see it. And both of them having double-digit swing strike numbers, actually against lefties, Jones performed better than against righties, which is kind of interesting. The slider, he was so good at throwing back foot sliders against them that he had a 25% swing strike rate with a near 70% strike rate. Insanely good. And then the four-seamer near 15% against lefties, so swing strike rates. And then righties, they both took a step back, which is a little interesting, honestly. I would think that this would be more dominant against righties, but for whatever reason, not quite as overpowering. 12% swing strike rate in the four-seamer and 17% on the slider. With Jared Jones, what I think there are really a few things that can really take forward and take a leap this year as he progresses forward in his sophomore season. One, we generally do see some increase in command the second year. I'm not saying that he had bad command last year, but we did see fatigue go on in the second half, and I do think that in his second year, there's going to be a little bit more polish on keeping that command as good as we've seen early in games and also early in the first half of the year. The second is I have to believe that there is someone in his ear that says, look, Jared, you don't need to throw 99-100 the first couple innings, and then it continuously goes down to 98 and then 97-96, right? What that does is it's not only about the effectiveness of the from a velocity standpoint. It also affects your command because you are gassed, and it's not like collectively your body is all at the same speed and is exhausted, right? If you have one speed, then when your arm is a little bit slower or more tired than your legs, then you're going to be fighting this and you're not going to be as consistent. I actually saw that a lot. We watched video in our live stream today for the Pirates. And yeah, this is what we saw from Jared Jones. So I'm hoping that he learns in this offseason, hey, start the game at 97. Be there and just stay there. And then when you need it, you go up to 99, right? Don't go out there throwing 100. You don't have to do that. You can be very effective just locating well with four seamers and sliders. These are very good pitches. And the other element is that I actually don't think that Jared Jones is destined to be just a two-pitch pitcher. We saw over 20% of curveballs plus changeups combined against lefties last year, and they both had strike rates above 60%. That's kind of cool. I think there's more to be had with the changeup. It was a little inconsistent, and the curveball was more of a show-me called strike pitch, 34% called strikes against lefties. But really, it's for right-handers, I think this changeup should be used more often. I think there needs to be something else that isn't the slider to pair off the four-seamer. Maybe it's a sinker, but I think, honestly, we're seeing a lot more pitchers have confidence in changeups against same-handed batters, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jared Jones embraces that for the season ahead. So I am going to buy in on Jared Jones. I see a guy that should be a 25 to 30% strikeout rate, if not higher. I see someone who should have a good whip because he doesn't walk batters. He was a 7.7% walk rate in his rookie year, and we all know that generally gets better in time. And the hit per nine was 7.8, and honestly, that could get better too, especially if he's having guys featuring more pitches for the second and third time through the lineup. And effectively then, that means the whip comes down, which means the ERA comes down. And the PLV projection is a 3.7 with a 1.15 whip and a 27% K rate. And I buy that. And that's not really baking in all the kind of growth that I'm talking about. So I'm a fan of Jared Jones. I've ultimately said, yes, you are a definitive step above the guys like Luis Gil and Yusei Kikuchi and Spencer Arrighetti and Ryan Pepiot. I think that Jared Jones is better than all of those. And I cannot wait to watch him pitch in his sophomore year in Pittsburgh. All right, that's a lot of those three guys because there's not a whole lot, but there are some prospects you got to know about. And maybe there's one super sneaky sleeper that no one is talking about on the Pirates. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Bailey Falter is not that sleeper. I mean, unless he gets traded to the Rays, which he will. And I've been making this joke for like 3 years that Bailey Falter is going to be traded to the Rays. Why? Because he has a lead extension. And all he needs, like seriously, Lee, is like 7.3, not like 7.3. Oh boy. He just needs a changeup. And he's tried it before, he can't find a good grip for it. But there's nothing that really helps this four-seamer. It's at 92, he tries to go upstairs with it. It has actually pretty good PLV, it's a 5.16 PLV. It's just, there's nothing else. Oh, the slider is a gyro one that can work against lefties, and that's cool, but like, you need to have a changeup. You're a left-hander with extension, with a four-seamer that sets the foundation. There's nothing else to support it, and it drives me up the wall. One day, you'll get traded to a team that will embrace this, and the Rays will recognize this and say, yes, give us Bailey Falter, because you don't want to pay arbitration. Yeah, hopefully that happens, but until then, I don't want to touch Bailey Falter. Johan Oviedo, though, is coming back from Tommy John. He pitched in 2023, and for a moment, think to yourself, how many innings did Johan Oviedo have in 2023? Just think for a second. Yeah, it was 177.2, which is bonkers, right? We forgot about this. He just pitched every 5 days in Pittsburgh, had diminished velocity in the very last start by 2+ miles per hour and got Tommy John. So we didn't see him in 2024. And what Oviedo does, actually kind of like Falter, is that he has a lot of extension. It's 7.1 feet of extension with that four-seamer 2023. But instead of 92-mile-per-hour velocity, it's 96. Oh, but it's kind of like a sinker. And it's really a four-seamer that acts like a sinker. It's under 10 inches of both IVB and horizontal break, which is wild. Yeah. Strange. Thing is, the slider is actually legit. It was the Wasker rule for all of 2023. He had a really good slider, 19% swing strike rate against righties in 2023, and that's it. So I wonder if there's more for Oviedo, especially when he comes back from Tommy John. Sometimes we see really revamps of guys when they return, like Matthew Boyd with the changeup and Jameson Taillon really shifting how he throws a baseball. We see this from time to time, and I'm curious if Oviedo understands, okay, cool, sinkers are really the thing that I should be doing against righties inside, or maybe this four-seamer inside because it does have that lateral movement, and maybe I can find something against left-handers that isn't just the slider. That can be more effective. Maybe it's that curveball usage more so and really reducing the heaters. Maybe it's a changeup with that extension that can be really good. I don't know. We'll see. I would keep my eye out on him because throwing 96 with a legitimate, like an elite breaking ball and having some feet of extension is more than a lot of guys who are not relevant right now. So take note about them. Carson Fulmer might see some starts. He has a full pitch mix. And none of it is anything exceptional. There are some nights where he has a really good changeup working or like he locates really well. But this is one of those cases of like a rare spot starter and that's it. So you don't need to touch Carson Wentz anywhere. You have Joey Wentz who has started in the past, but he only relieved last year, but it was like 2 innings. And maybe we see that a little bit in the upcoming year, but you don't want to go for it. I don't even think he's going to be stretched out enough. And maybe his, you know, maybe he gets a left-handed lineup with his cutter that is really good against lefties and everything else is not very good. Not much of a solution against right-handers. So yeah, it's not it. You don't want Joey Wentz. The prospects, though, and Bubba Chandler might be my number one target. And I say that because Jackson Jobe is great. And if I knew that he was going to be in the rotation to start the year, I would say it'd be Jobe. But with the signing of Jack Flaherty, there's really only one spot for like six different dudes. You have Reese Olson, right? You have Tarek Skubal. You have Jack Flaherty, who are definitely getting spots in that rotation. And I know there's one other that I'm just completely blanking on right now. I don't know why. There's also Casey Mize and Matt Manning and Kedere Montero and Kenta Maeda and so many. So Alex Cobb, there it is. They signed in free agency. I don't think that Jobe gets it out of camp simply because they moved him to a reliever the end of the year last year, and they probably want to diminish his innings and they want to protect him a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jobe just stays in the minors until like May or June, and then he comes up in full. While Bubba Chandler, well, the Pirates pushed in Jared Jones last year, and they don't have much. They haven't signed anyone yet. I'm expecting Jose Quintana to be signed. That's like my hot take, because it's the most ridiculous fit ever. I mean, it's like the Francisco Liriano from old, right? And they lost Martin Perez, so here you go. They need some boring veteran lefty crafty guy that will go like 5-6 innings, and they go, whatever, that's fine. Because it's Fulter and Oviedo right now at 4-5, and Carson Fulmer is their number 6. Like, what? So, assuming they go and get Jose Quintana, I don't want to touch Jose Quintana. There are some days where he has impeccable command with everything, but, like, do not touch Jose Quintana, say, for, like, a very desperate stream in an NL-only league. And Bubba Chandler could just force his way in there, be like, yeah, I'm dope, and you need another starter now because something happened to this rotation. That is why Bubba Chandler is my number one target. He's a guy that throws a mid to upper 90s heater, and he has absurd control of his pitches. The consistency of their movement is exceptional. He has a legitimate slider, and he has a lateral changeup to lefties. Like, he's not a guy that goes up there and just blows you away, but he pitches well, and he puts pitches where he wants to. They are good. That heater isn't like the best heater, but it's above average. It's a very good slider, if not elite. It's very good. And then a changeup that he spots pretty well. I think that's the biggest question I have, is how good that changeup is. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a rotation spot and has 12-team value. Like, that's it. It might be a Holly instead of like the 30% strikeout rate guy, which is why I'm not like feeling as if I'm going to be missing out in a big way if I don't get Chandler in my drafts. So maybe that does suggest that Jobe is a better target, just because if he does, there's more of an impact if he is a regular starter. But Chandler does seem like he has a better road to it. The other options for the Pirates, the most interesting ones are Thomas Harrington and Hunter Barco. I know that sounds wild. Mike Burrows is a thing, but I'm not a fan of it. I saw him very briefly last year, but like, there really isn't enough from the heater for whiffs. Maybe he can jam guys inside with it and get ground outs. And hopefully the slider and changeup are good enough. But like, you know, it's not enough. And I really need to see him excel with those two secondaries for me to be excited. Braxton Ashcraft, I just think that the four-seamer just isn't very good. And he has a good slider, from what I understand. And he throws a fair number of strikes. But I feel like that four-seamer is just going to get crushed at 95 with just bad movement and shape and everything like that. And I just don't like this. It's just the slider and the curve, and I don't think that's enough. There's Anthony Salameto, who has like a funky Madison Bumgarner delivery. That's what both MLB.com and Eric Loggenhagen described it as. I watched him like, yep, this is like Bumgarner, where like he cocks his left arm and it's all from the left side and it's a very wide delivery. It has worked, and it's like 90-91 with that fastball. The worry is that it exposes his arm too long for right-handers, but he does have a slider that does match on that he has gone back foot and in the dirt with. There's a changeup and a cutter in there too, and you know what? This might actually work. So monitor Anthony Salameto throughout AAA. When we get good data on that and we actually see how all this is working and how his command is, then the Pirates might actually say, cool, you're ready to go. Let's give you a chance later this year. We'll see. It's not, again, going to be explosive, so I'm not really jumping in a 12-teamer, but this could work and be effective enough to get some streaming production. 15-teamers, it might be worthwhile as a Toby. Who knows? At this point, and then you have Hunter Barco. He's a lefty with a legitimate slider to go against lefties and then a legitimate changeup to go against righties. That's kind of cool. I wish I liked the fastball more. It's at 92-93, but he did get 83 strikeouts and in 22 walks with 66 innings of 8-plus ball and a few in double-A. And if he does take another leap forward, that is more velocity in the fastball and a little bit better control to limit those walks, then you have something, because a 94-mile-per-hour fastball with two legitimate secondaries, especially a changeup against right-handers, that very much works in the majors. I wonder if he'll have the extension to really complement that enough. We'll see when I get that data. But Hunter Barco is someone that I'm hoping to see those gains from this year, and there's potential. The last I'm going to mention are Levi Sterling and Xander Muth. These are not 2025 guys, though. Sterling was drafted 37th overall in last year's draft, and he was 17 at the time. So, yeah, no, he's not going to get there. I don't know. Whatever I say about Sterling now doesn't really matter, because it'll probably change next year. He's 92-93 right now. He's young. They're hoping he fills out and throws harder, and he has good enough secondaries at 17 that they hope they get better too. I don't know. In Xander Muth, I saw comparisons on MLB.com about him looking like Tanner Houck. Well, he has, he's lower to mid-90s from a lower arm angle with a big sweeping slider, and they don't really love his changeup right now. He's 19 years old. He was drafted in 2023. We're not going to see him this year. So those two guys, I don't really think that Xander Muth, from what I've gotten, is a huge guy to target in your Dynasty League. Same thing with Levi Sterling. It's too far away, really, honestly. That's just my theory of Dynasty Leagues anyway. But there you go. There are the Pittsburgh Pirates. There might actually be some sneaky value there. I hope you enjoyed this one. And remember, we have the Yankees article. If you want to see what these articles look like, go check out the New York Yankees one. That one's free for everyone. If you want to see the written reviews of all these guys before I put out my top 400 later this month, go get Peel Pro. It's the best way to support us. You can get 15% off with promo code PODCAST. So go and do that now, Peel Pro Yearly. That's for first-time users. But that is it for today. I'm going to actually have another one later today on the New York Mets. So go look out for that one. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.